In this recording, Gail, Chris, Lindy and Linda share their personal responses to Tell Me About Jesus. First, Gail.
Claire asked us to think about and share who is Jesus to me. My immediate response to that question is that Jesus is my truest friend. That's been my response in my head whenever I hear that question, ever since I learnt that day spring prayer some years ago. I don't know whether you know it, I'll just read it out to you. As I rise this day in the presence of the three, I worship you, Creator God, Maker, Sustainer, and Lover of all, who alone is uncreated. As I rise this day in the presence of the three, I embrace you, Christ Jesus, Son of Mary, Son of God, my truest friend. As I rise this day in the presence of the three, I inhale you, gracious Spirit, breath of the living God, who draws me into wholeness. I find it quite difficult to speak about Jesus separately from God the Father, Mother, and God the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to use the term God instead of Jesus. When I tried to think about Jesus separately, it didn't work for me. Who is God for me? God is the one who knows me intimately. Every minute of every day, I am naked before her, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. There is nothing about me, my past, my present, or my future that God doesn't know. Most of you know something about me, but there's still a great deal you don't know. Ross knows a great deal about me because we've been married for over 44 years. Ross sees me and puts up with me when I'm tired and grumpy and sick and unkind and impatient and resentful and forgetful and sad. And he sees me when I'm happy and content and excited and joyful. Ross has learned to live with all of that and to put up with me and even to love me despite some of that. But Ross can't read my mind, and I'm not always honest with him. So there are things that Ross doesn't know about me, and every so often I still surprise him. But there's nothing that I can hide from God. She was there at my conception and birth. During my childhood, my teenage years, and all of the years since, God knows my friends through those years, my hopes, my fears, my grief, my joy, my disappointments. God knows how I struggle with pride and how I can stand in judgment of others. One of my many faults is assuming that I know what the other person is saying and rushing in with a response before really listening and understanding what is actually being said. Psalm 139 verse 4 says, "Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord." God sees my nakedness, my weakness, and my sin. Yet God loves me. God loves me just as I am. I know that my parents loved me, but their love was conditional. I wasn't so aware of that when I was a child. However, one day I heard my parents tell our young daughters that Gran and Pop loved good little girls. It was then I realised that was actually how I'd been brought up. God's love is different. It isn't dependent on who I am, on what I've done, or what I haven't done. God's acceptance of me, just as I am, is mind-boggling enough. But that she loves me, just as I am, is truly amazing. I, Gail Patricia Lansky, am a beloved child of God. My life is in God's hands. My past, my present, right now, while I'm standing here today and tonight. my future, tomorrow, and however many tomorrows I have. I'm very grateful for God's love, and I try to love God in return. I also try to love others as God loves me. In God, I have found my rest and my identity. Psalm 139 that we just sung expresses a lot of what I've been sharing. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all of my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in, behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up into the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast.
After a reading, Chris shares her response to "What is Jesus to me?"
The reading is from John 14, 1 to 10. "Do not be worried and upset," Jesus told them. "Believe in God and believe also in me. There are many rooms in my Father's house, and I am going to prepare a place for you. I would not tell you this if it were not so. And after I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to myself so that you will be where I am. You know the way that leads to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going, so how can we know the way to get there?" Jesus answered him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except by me. Now that you have known me," he said to them, "you will know my Father also, and from now on you do know him and you have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father. That is all we need." Jesus answered, "For a long time I have been with you all, yet you do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. Why then do you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe, Philip, that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I have spoken to you," Jesus said to his disciples, "do not come from me. The Father who remains in me does his own work."
Thanks, Nona. I did have another, just one verse particularly in mind. Gospel of John, verse 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He came to his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become children of God." Actually, I did have a song as well, but I don't know if we were able to sing it. "In the stars, his hand of work, I see." Oh, okay. Yeah, sorry. I was going to say that it's virtually said it all in those readings and the song. But the song really speaks of God's majesty and also that also his intimacy with us. I believe that Jesus is God and Lord, and I often use these terms interchangeably. Jesus is the human face and the fullest expression of God, who chose to set aside his glory to show us the way out of the mess we humans have made of the privileges and gifts we have been given by God in this wonderful created world. I actually found my childhood the most and adolescence a most significant part of my spiritual journey, so I thought I'd give you a bit of that background. I grew up in the post-war period in the 50s and 60s. My family identified as Church of England, very nominal, as we didn't even go to church at Christmas and Easter. The only time we ever went to church was when we were christened, and I don't remember that. Churchgoers were regarded as hypocrites, and we were not encouraged to associate with them. So how does a young girl come to know about Jesus? Looking back, there were God moments in my childhood and adolescence, which made some impact on me. My three brothers and I always had bedtime stories. I was the eldest, and I had a real hunger for stories, and Mum seemed to have run out of them, and she had to resort to Bible stories. And I really loved these, and particularly the story of Moses in the bulrushes. I don't remember having any stories from the New Testament. I had some cousins who lived in Cunderdon. They were Catholics and therefore frowned upon, but tolerated because they were kind of family. And when I was 4 or 5, I stayed with my grandmother, who also lived in Cunderdon. And I had an older cousin who was in about year one at school. And one day I was allowed to attend school with her. And that was terribly exciting. And of course, it was a convent run by nuns. And I really loved it. And I especially loved a bookmark they gave me of Mary and the baby Jesus. And this was my particular treasure for quite a while. That I suspect my parents were not all that impressed. The next encounter I remember was an incident in my year one class when another 6-year-old girl told the story of the cross, giving graphic details of the physical sufferings Jesus went through on the cross, and managed to convey that he did not deserve this because he hadn't done anything wrong, but he did it all for us. I was greatly moved by this and sobbed uncontrollably when I got home, but was unable to verbalise what had happened. At the age of 8, my best friend invited me to the Alexander Park Sunday School, which was run by Perth Bible Institute, which interestingly was where Glenn did his training. And yeah, well, my friend and I, although we were very well behaved at school, we really let it rip at Sunday school. And we had a great time. I learnt very little. Well, I thought I learnt very little, but I did have my first introduction to the Bible and a bit about the Bible. But there was something which really stuck with me, and that was the people who taught us and ran that Sunday school. They were just very special, and they were so very tolerant. And I think this was my first experience of agape love. Yeah, this left me a lasting impression. From year 6, I went to Perth College, a school run by the Anglican Sisters of the Church at that time. I was somewhat ambivalent at suddenly having, well, scripture lessons, which they actually called divinity lessons, and at having to attend chapel on a very regular basis. But anyway, it was all new and different, so I went along with it. Didn't really pay much attention. But there was something hung over from that early teaching I had in Alexander Park Sunday School. I just thought that, yeah, someday, you know, I would like to really explore what this is all about. And so in my last couple of years at school, I just came to me, maybe through the Spirit, that this is the time when you've got to really look at this. And I became very attentive to all the teaching that was provided. And, yeah, it all came together for me. And I, one day, just before Easter in 1964, I went to the chapel alone and knelt down and accepted Jesus as my Saviour, my Lord and my God. And it was just a wonderful, cleansing, just amazing experience. And it did make a real impact on my life. I was somehow changed. Yes, so all of this happened within the context of a very high Anglican school with all the smells and bells, as they call them. But then shortly after this, suddenly I got invited to an ISCF camp. I'd never heard of it before, and I hadn't actually told anyone that I'd actually done this, but I was invited to a camp. And that was pretty amazing, and I just saw how wonderful it was that you could worship God in totally different contexts. And I was very much drawn to the evangelical type, but I also really valued the high church thing, and there's something about the reverence which is never really experienced in the more informal churches. But, yeah, this was all very wonderful to me. Of the people who really had influences on me, well, firstly, there was the Alexander Park Sunday School teachers. And then this progressed through some of the sisters at the school. But probably the continuing ones for me were the ones, Scripture Union, ISCF, that I'd met back then. Yeah, and I suppose one particular person who many of you would know, Jan Thompson. Yeah, wonderful lady. And it just the way that, you know, once kids had finished school, we were, you know, totally accepted as full adults and totally valued and as friends, and she was always there as a continuing mentor. So, thank you.
After two short readings, Lindy shares her response to, "What is Jesus to me?"
The Lord with all your heart. Never rely on what you think you know. Remember the Lord in everything you do, and he will show you the right way. And then Psalm 37, 4 and 5. Seek your happiness in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desire. Give yourself to the Lord, trust in him, and he will help you. So Lindy is going to be supported by Claire, so look forward to it.
I'll probably cry, but it's good crying. Who is Jesus to you? Well, Jesus is the Son of God. He comes among us to show that he loves us and that he loves me. He knows me. Encourages me, he grows me, he touches my heart, opens my eyes so that I hope I can take that experience to others.
That's a very warm and welcoming sense of God. Would you like to talk about what influenced you in your life to come to such a warm and welcoming sense of God?
Sure. Some of the influences of me from others. When I went to high school, I went to, oh, now I've forgotten what it was called, but it doesn't matter, it was one of those private ones. and the MLC, yes, thank you. And I met another girl there whose family had come from Sydney, and this person was Jill, and she became a close friend of mine. Her parents were Christians, very obvious and lovely and generous ones. So I started going to the youth group at Nedlands Methodist. It's called something in. Way in, thank you. Good, this is really good. Yeah, this is years ago, and it's really lovely for me to remember that it's how it came about, because, yeah, Way In was a very great place for people to gather on a Friday night, I think. And we're, Jill and I and another person are thinking of whether we might have a kind of come back to Way In gathering reunion. Yeah. Yes, and Jill also invited me to go to ISCF camps. I remember that she was a bit hesitant to go on her own, so her mum said, why don't you just find a friend and go as well? And that led to many camps and... I can't read my writing probably. This is why I have my special friend here.
They loved it,
and there were many more. So, and then we became leaders, and it just went on and on. And yes, so that's about it, I think. Thank you.
Would you like to say something? Today, standing here today, is there something that feels the most important thing?
I think the fact that Jesus is with me and knows every part of me. I think that's... Thank you.
Our final speaker, responding to the question of what is Jesus to me, is Linda.
I was actually going to choose that song for my song too, and it's a bit unfortunate that we had it before I was about to speak, because as part of what I was going to say, I can never get through it without crying. So it's not great at this point. Okay, I'm going to tell you a little bit about how I've got to where I am now and how my relationship, or how I see Jesus God, has come to be and how it's changed over time. When I was a child, I was raised in a Christian family, and we attended the Nazarene Church and Sunday school. And to me, there was always a mismatch between the God that condemned people and this vengeful God that I heard about in church and this fairy tale story Jesus that loved everybody and was welcoming and approachable. I always believed that there was a God, but I didn't feel that God was particularly kind or likeable or fair, whereas Jesus was much more approachable and loving and forgiving. But I didn't really see how the two fitted together, and I didn't really see how I could accept one and not the other. And so I never felt that I had a personal relationship with God or with Jesus. They were a bit like distant relatives that you hear about, but you don't really know. So as I got older, I increasingly questioned how a God could allow the suffering that I saw in the world, and I never understood how a Christian, loving God could condemn people, followers of other faiths, whose moral code was pretty much similar to the ones that we followed, and who believed in their God with all their hearts. And so God and Jesus became increasingly remote figures in my life. Nevertheless, I kept going. In my late teens, I made friends with some young people from BINC, which was the Nazarene Christian College, which was based in Manchester. So I made friends with these people, and I attended lots of events with them. But I always felt like I was on the outside. I never could accept what I saw as their unquestioning faith, and I always felt that I must be lacking in some way. So I had lots of questions, and I never really felt that I got satisfactory answers to those questions. And in my late 20s, I decided I would just opt out and run away. So I dropped out of attending church and did my very best to forget about God and religion. But at the same time, I still had this nagging awareness of God. And I felt very unworthy of God's love, given my doubts and my hedonistic lifestyle, which I was pursuing vigorously. I eventually left the UK and travelled for several years. And during that time, I saw many natural sights and wonders that evoked a feeling of awe in me. And they reignited my interest in a greater force. Had to be something better than me and us. And for me, creation has always been unquestionably the work of God. But I had never felt it to be purposeful. But as I travelled, I noticed perfection and power all around. And I began to feel that I was a very small but very intentional part of God's creation. And as such, I might be worthy of God's love. So I began to feel the pull of Jesus in my heart and my soul. It was a longing. And when I was growing up in church, sorry, this is a bit messy. In the church I grew up in, there was a painting on the wall of Jesus knocking on the door. And as I felt this longing for Jesus, I could feel this persistent pull and tug of God. So I began to read the Bible, and I read it end to end, looking for answers to my questions, which I didn't really find. But in all my reading, I reflected a lot on Jesus' love and acceptance and welcome of little children and of people that society deems are not desirable. And I began to trust that God's love was not something to be earned. It's just there. And all I have to do is take it and accept it. I felt that Jesus was offering me love and relationship. And out of all of the books that I did read in the Bible, my very favourite one was John, with this consistent message of love. I felt comforted by it, and I felt accepted for who I was, for every little part of me. As the other ladies have said, Jesus knows every bit of me. All the shabby, horrible, mean, nasty, unpleasant bits, as well as the nicer bits, because there are a few nicer bits, if you dig deep enough. When I came to Perth, I visited many local churches, but I couldn't find one that I felt comfortable with. I still felt out of step with a lot of the teachings in churches. I was really happy when I came here and found a church that didn't preach condemnation and that was welcoming and where people could express their doubts and their thoughts and ask questions. I also particularly liked the music here. I loved it. And I think I have found more of God's essence in music than I have in any service or any Bible reading. And as I mentioned before, I don't think I ever got through Shower of Grace without crying. It's just, it touches my heart. And when I became a parent, I experienced giving love unselfishly and to an extent unconditionally. And I felt more closely connected to Jesus, who loves me despite my best efforts to drive him away. I also felt that my love for my children, which I feel enormously, as a fallible parent, could only be a tiny, tiny reflection of God's love for each of us. So today, Jesus is still the approachable and loving face of God. But the difference between now and when I was a child is that now Jesus and God are real to me. Jesus has become the lens that I look through to see God. And now I find the two hard to separate. I feel that I'm loved specifically and unconditionally, and that I can grow in the relationship, and that I can trust God enough to ask questions and also to accept not getting an answer. I try to live a life of love for people around me, sometimes better than others. And to paraphrase a couple of hymns, Jesus is the love that will not let me go. And he is the lover of my soul. And that's it.